Okay. So Jesus goes on and says, John baptized, he goes on to say, John baptized with water, but I come to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And I just want to think about that for a minute. Oh gosh. Just for a minute. And next week I'm going to carry on with the rest of the sermon because I got tons prepared for you. Spent 12 hours on this yesterday, and there's just no way I can give it all to you in 45 minutes. Okay, so we're gonna be done here. This is my last thing. But I want you to think about John the Baptist. What do you think about John the Baptist? John the Baptist. He's quite a guy, right? Parents barren. Zechariah and Elizabeth. Read about them in the story in the Gospel of Luke, actually. Right? Luke tells their story. And he tells John the Baptist's story. John the Baptist, born, filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. No wine. Yeah? No wine. It's one of the things John's not allowed to do. I don't know if you remember it, but you can turn back to the book of to the Gospel of Luke and read it in there. It's the one thing John was not allowed to do. Now, I didn't say anything about cutting his hair, which would be the typical Nazarite vow. Okay? We understand that the spirit of Elijah was on him. He was going forth in the spirit of Elijah, preparing the way of the Lord. He's using the words from Isaiah 40, and he is the one preparing the way for the Lord himself to be revealed. He's down at the Jordan baptizing. He's dressed in typical prophet's clothing. He is a prophet of God. He's dressed in camel skin and camel hair. I mean, that kind of uncomfortable. And he's eating weird stuff. And locusts and honey. And I don't know what that tastes like, but I saw down at the mall the other day you could get little crickets. You could buy them. They're all like crunchy, deep fried. They sell them in one of the stores down there. It's candied scorpions and stuff. Anyway, so John the Baptist eating that weird kind of stuff out in the wilderness. I mean, I don't know if that's really what he was eating or if it was the word locust is whatever. Anyway, he's not allowed to drink wine. He's not allowed to drink wine. This is a very important point. Are you listening? This is the big one for today. I told you I had a big revelation last week. This is the big revelation for this week. Are you ready for this? I need you to focus. John the Baptist came baptizing with water. He was not allowed to drink wine. John the Baptist said in Luke chapter 3, "The one that comes after me will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire." That was the promise. Shortly thereafter, in the text, Jesus appears. He goes down to the water to be baptized. He prays. The Holy Spirit comes upon him. Jesus will not even attempt ministry until he has the Holy Spirit on him. The very first miracle. Anybody know what it was? Turned water into wine. John chapter 2 in Cana of Galilee. John the Baptist wasn't allowed to drink that stuff. And he couldn't baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about wine at all. For those of you who think that I'm making some sort of an argument here that you can go out and just buy some wine on the way home and you get the Holy Ghost. Because that is not what I'm saying. Okay, so now that we've clarified that, stick with me. The baptism of John was a baptism of repentance. It was a baptism of saying, "I'm sorry, and I want to be ready for your Messiah, Lord." That's a wonderful place to be, because that is the beginning of the journey of into relationship with God. But I want you to know that in itself will not give you your mission. That in itself will not give you the power. That in itself will not give you anything that pertains to life and godliness, except a penitent heart. And God says a penitent heart He will not cast out. A humble heart, a contrite spirit, He will not cast out. So thank God for that. But the ministry of John is what so many religious, wonderful, warm-hearted, religious Christians are living. In the absence of the wine of God's Holy Spirit, we will have nothing but an education club and a place where we encourage one another to do good works. You will come here and I will teach you the Bible. You will go home feeling like, hey, I learned something. And I will encourage you to give and to be generous. And you will have good works. And you and I will make no difference in our world. But Jesus came to bring us something intoxicating. Jesus came to give you passion. Jesus came to give you more than just a good idea. Jesus came to give you something that if you start to imbibe of this, you're going to get drunk. You're going to get so spun out in it, it's going to totally affect your entire life. God has come in Christ to promise you and to give you something that will revolutionize everything about you. It'll render you foolish to the world. I'm not kidding you. And his very first miracle, he took water and he turned it into wine. And I want you to understand something. That's exactly what God wants to do to your finite humanity and my finite humanity. God wants to come and he wants to take that water and he wants to infuse it with his Holy Spirit. And he wants to totally transform us into something that is miraculous, something that is intoxicating, something that is passionate, something that is amazing, something that will not run out of energy, something that gets better the longer it sits, something that is absolutely the desire of the nations. God has designed for us to be that. You understand that Jesus Christ, when he was incarnate, when he was incarnated, he became, and I talked about this at Christmas time, he became God 100% and man 100% in one body. You remember that? We talk about not half of him God and half of him man, but we talk about 100% God and 100% man totally enmeshed in one another, which is a mystery. And again, your little brain, my little brain, let's just not try to figure that out because there's nothing we know that can do that. Okay, there can be 100% this and 100% that and still be 100%, yeah, whatever. So, but understand that he was the prototype. Understand that he was the prototype. Understand that when the Bible says, you are my son, today I have begotten you. He's not talking about Jesus having been created at the beginning of the age, Jesus being a created one like we are. He's talking about the new creation when Jesus is raised from the tomb as the new creation, totally glorified God and man in one body. Now, he was that incarnate, but now he is that as the firstborn of creation, the firstborn of the new creation. Jesus is as such, although he's never been born, but he's the first one of the new line, basically. He comes out of, they made the mold with him, and you and I get pressed into that mold, and we come out just like him. And the water of our humanity gets infused with the wine of his Holy Spirit, and we become totally intoxicating to the world. And my friends, we need to make a difference in the world. I'm going to read you just this passage and we'll end with this. Didn't I say I was going to end a little while ago? There was a false ending. Do I always say that? Okay, look, I'm even going to close the Bible, right? So, do you believe me? Here it is. I'll just read the statement and we're going to pray. I wish you guys just wanted to stay all day because I could talk. Anyway. All right. Listen to this. This is from Jack Hayford, and I just want to say that Jack Hayford is one of my heroes, and I rediscovered a book of his yesterday, and it was just amazing, his handbook on the Bible. And when it comes to the Holy Spirit and some theology of that, he's just so thorough and sound and so wonderfully charismatic. And for us Pentecostal charismatics who love the gifts of the Holy Spirit and who get all upset when other people out there, commentators, tell us that ceased, you know, the cessationist, that God doesn't do that anymore. I just am so thankful for a guy like Jack Hayford who says, rubbish, man, of course it's for today. And he can do it accurately. This is what he says. The kingdom must be more than education and acts of kindness. Apart from an impassioned pursuit of prayer, confrontation with the demonic, expectation of the miraculous, and a burning heart for evangelism, the kingdom makes little penetration in the world. Can I read you those four things again? Yeah. Number one, an impassioned pursuit of prayer. Number two, confrontation with the demonic. Well, that's not something you're going to get in your book club. Number three, expectation of the miraculous. And number four, a burning heart for evangelism. Those four things, amongst others, those four things are what I want to see happen to us. And I believe as we read the book of Acts, we're going to have that sort of thing stirring up on the inside. The promise. Here, I want to give you guys some homework. Can I give you homework? Well, okay. Really? Seriously? Come on, you guys. Okay. Here's the homework if you choose to accept it, okay? Your mission. Mission impossible. If you choose to accept it. You ready? You want to know about the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to the disciples, remember I talked to you about the promise? That one. That's the one that's coming. So don't leave Jerusalem until he comes. That promise. Where did Jesus talk about the Holy Spirit? I looked. Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's not there. Where did Jesus talk about the Holy Spirit? Thank you, Apostle John. In John chapter 13, from about verse 30 somewhere onwards, to John chapter 16, the end of the chapter, Jesus speaks very plainly about the promised Holy Spirit. Jesus goes in there to say this, unless I leave, he will not come. I have to go in order for him to come. So you're going to see me leave. Don't freak out. There's going to be a short time where you wait, and then he's going to come. John chapter 13 through John chapter 16. You can even read to John chapter 17 if you want. Here's your homework. I want you to go read those chapters before next Sunday. Can you do that? Just like I. Howard Marshall said, if you don't go into the book of Acts with an expectation, you're not going to get anything out of it. You'll get what you expect. So I'm asking you to expect the promise. In order to have the promise, you need to read the promise and know what it is. John chapter 13 through John chapter 17, I want you to take every time that the words Holy Spirit show in there, I want you to highlight them in your Bible. I want you to take that verse and write it down on a piece of paper. Don't cut and paste it from your Bible app, okay? I want you to take your pen and your hand and get a piece of paper and write it out, okay? I want you to write out every verse, starting with the first one, and write them all the way down through the end of Jesus' prayer every time the Holy Spirit is mentioned, okay? And then I want you to take those verses after you're done, and I want you to, now that they're compiled on that sheet, I want you to take them and I want you to start to read them. Pin it up on your fridge, whatever it might be. I want you to read those verses about the promised Holy Spirit. And if you want a little extra credit, okay? Extra credit. I want you to try and look in there and see what the conditions are. Okay? The Holy Spirit is being sent, but there are some conditions. And be smart. Be smart about it. I'll give you one little clue. When he says things like receive the Holy Spirit, that's actually, although it's a passive word, receive, you're not actually doing it, somebody's doing it to you. There is a responsibility on your part to receive. If I stand in front of you with a gift, and I'm just standing there, and you just leave me hanging, in the end, I've got the gift and you don't. Yeah? Okay, so let's go through the homework again. John 13 through 17. Highlight every time the Holy Spirit is mentioned, every promise about the Holy Spirit. And look for those where it's not just his name might not be mentioned, but he's mentioned in character, or his person is mentioned. Something about the Holy Spirit is mentioned. Take those, write them down. And then, when you got that, sit and read and start to expect. Extra credit, look for the conditions. What do I have to do? Okay? We'll talk about it next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, my heart is leaping. I just know that you've got so much in store for us. And that most of all, your presence in us. Oh. Lord, I don't even find the words to say. I pray that you would meet our expectation, oh Lord. Fulfill your promise for your church. May we meet the conditions, Lord. I pray that we will be those who take your word and do it. And I also ask, Lord, that we would not be so foolish as to see the promise and to hear your commandment to not go anywhere and do anything until we've got that. I pray we would not be so foolish as to disobey you. If you, O Lord, wouldn't do any ministry without the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you birthed your church and didn't allow them to do any ministry until they had the presence of the Holy Spirit, then may we also, may we not leave and launch out into all kinds of ideas and things outside of the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, breathe upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.